still open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise.
Open up the heavens.
Open up the heavens. We want to see you. Open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. We want to see you. Open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise.
Open up the heavens.
Open up the heavens. We want to see you. Open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. We want to see you. Open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise.
Open up the heavens.
Open up the heavens. We want to see you. Open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part, flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship your name, God. Hallelujah. Show us your glory, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Couldn't help but think earlier when we were singing about the name of Jesus. The Bible says that at the mention of that name, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. And as we begin to sing the name of Jesus on earth, kind of wonder what's happening in heaven.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
I don't know. The angels are emotional beings, but in my mind, maybe the wings begin to flutter a little faster.
Thank you.
And the Bible says that things under the earth. I wonder if maybe the demons begin to tremble just a little bit. what effect am I having here on this earth as I begin to call upon the name of Jesus, that at the mention of that name, how the heavens become excited and the things under the earth begin to tremble as I call on the name of Jesus, as I sing about the name that is above every name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Huh. It's not what I'm preaching on, but ever notice how people in the world, when they get emotions rise, and maybe they're fearful or maybe they're angry or whatever, that many times it's something vulgar or profane. Somebody who is a believer gets excited or fearful. How often it's the name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I'm so thankful that I know the name. I'm so thankful that I can call upon the name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We make no apologies. We are people of the name. We believe in the name of Jesus Christ. We believe that there is salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If you can, you may be seated. Thank you for participating in worship, calling upon the name of Jesus, singing about the name of Jesus. Thank you to all those that gathered together for our small group session last night. Just had a great time fellowship, one with another, just breaking bread together. And some of us learned about greed, not to be greedy. It's good to be around the people of God, to interact with people of like precious faith. If you're not involved in our small groups, we encourage you to see Brother and Sister Graham. They can put you on the schedule. We do need more people who are willing to host at their homes. And we bring a lot of the food with us, so it's not like you have to prepare everything. You just kind of have to open your home, and it'd be nice if you cleaned it up a little bit. That sort of stuff. But my group was able to go to Brother Spencer's house last night. What a great time. What a great job he did in hosting and having us all there. And we just had a wonderful time together. So we encourage you to be a part of that. And anything that you can be a part of around the people of God and the things of God is a benefit to you. It will help you. It will strengthen you. So we always encourage that. Tonight, 6 o'clock, we encourage you to gather together with us. We have split sessions, teaching times, a session for women, a session for men, and a session for children. And so we invite you to come and be a part of that tonight here at 6 o'clock, continuing in that study. Men, we will be putting together the details for the men's fellowship, men's outing that we are having this coming Thursday night at 6:30 at Brother Mike Duell's home. And so we encourage you to come tonight to be a part of that. Help us flesh out the details of that gathering. Other things by way of announcement are on the screen, usually in between service, before service, after service, just trying to make you aware of what's going on. You can also visit church website. It will link you to our church calendar via Breeze, and you can see all the events taking place therein on the calendar. If you have your Bibles and you would be so kind, rise to your feet and open the good word of the Lord. And it feels good to be in the house of the Lord. Feels good to be in the house of the Lord. If you're interested in going and be a part of Investing in Futures, this is a conference that is specifically geared toward children's ministry. It is happening at the Apostolic Sanctuary in Silvis, a little over an hour and a half away from here, in the Quad Cities area, at the Apostolic Sanctuary, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. You can go, make it a part of your schedule to be a part of that. You will not be disappointed. The youth, I want to remind you, there is the gathering, She's for Christ, the gathering that is happening August 24th and 25th. at the Illinois District Campground. You can see Brother Spencer. He has more details concerning that. If you would be interested in partnering with our youth group, it's about $50 a head to go and be a part of that. I know that's a sizable chunk of change for young people. Some families have multiple young people that are going. If you would be interested in partnering with the young people and making it possible for someone to go, please see Brother Spencer. All of these proceeds, if you heard about how to give to She's for Christ, what happens when we send young people to this gathering, those young people that we send and the money that we send with them counts as offering from this church. And so this is a way that you can give and know that the money is being used in a way that it not only benefits our local assembly in sending someone to the gathering, but also benefits our district and organization as a whole. And so we encourage you in that. Other things happening coming up towards the end of the month, those things are on the calendar, and I won't take the time to go into all those details, but please make yourself aware of that. So good for you to be here in the house of the Lord. If this is your first time, welcome. We hope that you feel the power and presence of the Lord, and you recognize that you are among people who believe in the power of Jesus Christ. If this is your 1,000th time, your 10,000th time, well, it's good that you're here as well. Romans chapter number 6. The book of Romans has a special place in my heart. It was when I, as an adolescent, got into Bible quizzing. It was the book of Romans. It's a subject matter, and so I committed to memory many of the verses found in the book of Romans. I love all the Word of God, but there are particular passages and chapters and books, if you will, that seem to resonate. I believe the book of Romans is one of those books. Romans chapter number 6, begin reading in verse number 16. If nothing else this morning, I want to simplify, if you will, what it means to live for God. I realize, and there are, if you're around here any length of time, you will find that we do not hesitate to teach and preach upon doctrine, on what is essential to one's salvation, about the born-again experience. But when it comes down to it, whether we have experienced all that in relation to being born again, or whether we are striving, we are endeavoring to follow the will of God for our lives, maybe we're still learning, maybe we're still growing, as we all are. It comes down to it, simply one of two things. That's it. It's one of two things. Either I choose to be a servant of sin, or I choose to be a servant of righteousness. It's really that simple. Romans chapter 6, verse number 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom ye obey. Whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin. I was at one time a servant of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you have become the servants of righteousness. It's pretty simple. Either I am a servant of sin, or I am a servant of righteousness. It really doesn't get any simpler than that. I am either a servant of sin, or I am a servant of righteousness. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we love you. so honored to once again stand in this pulpit and preach to these precious people. It's not anything that I take lightly, Lord, but I pray that this morning, God, every ear would be attentive, God, every heart would be open, Lord, that we would realize the simplicity of what it means to serve you, God, to endeavor with everything that is within us, to obey from the heart, God, to follow your will and your way for our lives. We love you, we praise you, we honor you, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, your love and your truth, for all that you are and all that you do. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Servants of sin or servants of righteousness? In this passage to the church at Rome, the Apostle Paul is presenting something it's rather problematic. Not only to those at Rome, but to humanity as a whole. Something that seems to circumvent all the autonomy that society seeks and strives for. An ideology that, if true, and I believe that it is tantamount in shedding light on a reality that many would rather not believe. He is asserting that all of mankind are masters unto something. That a choice of whether or not to serve does not exist. I'll say that again. That a choice of whether or not to serve does not exist. You will serve something. I cannot sit it out. I cannot decide that I will not serve. A choice of whether or not to serve does not exist. But rather a choice exists only in who or what we serve. In more specific terms, the Apostle Paul is informing us that we are all servants. And the only choice we truly have is in choosing our master. Might I add this? The enemy of our soul, our adversary, the devil, he delights in deceiving people into believing that there is a neither option. Somehow there exists this gray area of in between where I can reside without really making a choice. But as the great prophet Elijah knew, when he stood on top of Mount Carmel and he looked at a people who were backsliding away from God, he said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? You think you're residing in a place where you're not making a choice. But you don't realize that you're already choosing." See, I'm rising on this Sunday morning to echo the words of the Apostle Paul in making it abundantly clear that we all yield. We all submit. We all are, whether we like it or not, we are subordinate. We serve something. No man is a master unto himself.
we all serve something. As the Apostle Paul said, either we yield as servants to sin, or we yield as servants to righteousness. We either obey sin, and that leads to death, or we obey righteousness, and that to eternal life. There is no serving both sides. There is no sitting it out. We all yield. We all submit. We are all servants of one or the other. I either choose to serve sin or I choose to serve righteousness. One of two. And that is just how simple it really is. In fact, Jesus had to say this, Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You're going to serve one or the other. It's either going to be God or it's going to be man. You're either going to obey and follow after righteousness, or you're going to disobey and follow after sin. But you will, without argument, submit to one or the other. Our hands will, in fact, hold to either God or man. You see, how we live our lives truly does reveal who we serve. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to take it a little further. You may not like me after I say this. Because just because you're coming to church on Sunday morning and sitting in a pew does not mean you are serving God. John 3:19-21. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. He that wants to serve righteousness, he that wants to do good, he that serves truth, comes to the light. Let me put a little Wellesian theology on that. He that wants to do good comes to church. You say, well, you're reading more into that. Just wait. I'll show you why that's true. I'll show you why the Bible is telling us that if we want to serve righteousness, then we come to the light. I don't get light out on the lake fishing. I get some sunlight, but I don't get the light. I don't get light out on the golf course golfing. I better stop. I'm going to get too specific. If I love truth and I want to be a servant of righteousness, and I want to follow the things of God for my life, I come to the light. I don't come out of obligation. I don't come because my family expects me to come. I come because I know that's where I need to be. I come because that's where the light is. I come because that's where the spotlight is turned on my life. Look at it. That his deeds may be manifest. When's the last time you came to church because you wanted something revealed in your life? I know. I'm preaching hard. But what would it be like if I came to church with the expectation that God was going to use whoever was preaching or whoever was teaching or whoever was singing, that God was going to use them to reveal what needs to take place in my life? That his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. That what I've been doing is what I should be doing. And if what I've been doing ain't what I should be doing, shine a light on it, Lord. Well, it's going to be a long morning. Many do not read the Bible because it distinguishes and defines who and what is served in their life. I'm just going to say it like it is. They don't want to read the Word because the Word reveals. They don't want to interact with the Word because the Word reveals. They don't want that light turned on in their life because it reveals all the dirt. Wonder why they keep the lights low in a restaurant? Because you know what happens when you leave and all the customers are gone? Those lights come up. And it gets pretty bright in there. You want to know why? So they can see all the junk. It's all over the place. Oh, let me come to a church where the light's down low. Where I can just come in and feel good about what I'm doing in life. Oh, but don't let the light shine on me. Don't bring up the light, Pastor, in your preaching. Keep it low. I'd rather not see what I've come in here with. Amen or oh me, it's so anyhow. Many do not come to church or hear the Word of God preached or spend time interacting with the Word of God. For in hearing is revealed what should be done. And it's often contrary to what they're doing. And they think things like this. Well, I am autonomous me. I am master of my own fate. My free will grants me the liberty to do as I will, to make my own way. Yes, but only to the extent of who or what I serve. We all have the freedom to choose. We do. We all have the free will. God has given us that. But the free will to choose is to choose between being a servant of sin or a servant of righteousness. That's it. There are no other choices. You want to boil it all down. You want to take this book and you want to split it, if you will, into two different ideologies. It's either serve righteousness or serve sin. And we all choose one or the other. Look at Ephesians 2. Paul, writing the church at Ephesus, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation. That's more than just your talk. That's your daily living. That's your behavior. That's your lifestyle. In times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Multitudes do not even realize that they do march to the cadence of their master. They are servants of sin, walking after the course of this world, caught up in the crowd of carnality, being swept away in the current of sin, and therefore are they destined for destruction. Ephesians 5:5-6. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let me just stop right there. Say, well, I'm not an immoral person. I'm not a whoremonger. I'm not really unclean. I don't cuss. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do that unclean stuff. I don't really covet what other people have. I'm pretty content with what I have. What about idolatry? If there is something that keeps me from serving God as I should, it is, by the definition of the Bible, an idol. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. If I am serving a desire, if I am serving a want, if I'm serving a hobby, more than I'm serving God, it's an idol. Well, how do I know if it's an idol? Do I choose to do it or come to the house of God? I'm sorry. There is no other way you can cut it. If I choose it over the house of God, the people of God, the things of God, the preaching of God, the teaching of God, if I choose it over all that, it's an idol. And the Bible tells me, they hath no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. When I do not make the choice to serve righteousness, I make the choice to serve sin. I'm going to say that again. When I do not make the choice to serve righteousness, I make the choice to serve sin. It is that simple. Excuse it away if you want to. Try to come up with all the kinds of reasons if you want to. But it is simply that simple. Either I choose to serve God and righteousness, or I choose to serve sin. Because to disobey righteousness is to serve sin. And to disobey sin is to serve righteousness. I'm going to hurry on. There's a story in the Bible of King Saul. God told him that he was to do something very specific with the Amalekites. Yet Saul decided to do things his own way. He decided he knew better than God. 1 Samuel 15, 22 through 24. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." I've already stepped in it, so you know me. I just like to dance around in it sometimes. You want to know the number one problem with people serving God? It's submission. They just won't submit. You know why they won't submit? Because they're stubborn. Man, I thought it was going to be quiet. I didn't know it was going to be this quiet. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Why? Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. You're stubborn, Saul, and you won't submit. And as a result of your unwillingness to submit by your stubbornness, you have rejected the word of God. You don't want to serve God, you want to serve yourself. And Saul said unto Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." Can I paraphrase what Saul said? I chose rather to serve my own interest than to serve the interest of God. I chose rather to be a servant of sin rather than a servant of righteousness. Saul feared the people, obeying their voice, seeking their approval, thus disobeying God and receiving his disapproval. I'm going to say something right here that some of you are going to have some trouble with. But we live in a world thinking they can do what disapproves, God disapproves of, and still be approved by God. I don't see that in the Word of God. I don't see that because it's about a choice. I either choose to serve sin or I choose to serve righteousness. I either choose what is pleasing and approved of God, or I choose to do what is displeasing and disproved of God. That's why the Bible tells you, study to show thyself what? Approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so, in our day and age, so many people feel like, I can just do whatever I want. God in his love, his mercy, his grace, he'll just accept me. That's not what I read. Because that same grace which saves me teaches me to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. But the only way it can teach me, Brother Kellum, is if I follow its rules. The only way it can teach me is if I obey. Otherwise, I ain't learning. And here's that tipping point. Because in verse 17, Paul reveals what it takes to serve righteousness. He shows through the Word of God how you and I are to serve God. And it says this, obey from the heart. Does not say obey from the intellect. It does not say obey from the mind. It doesn't even say obey from your understanding. It says obey from your heart. So you want to know why people don't read the Word of God as they should? You want to know why they don't come to church as they should? It's pretty simple. Their heart ain't in it. And it's service based on obligation. It's service based upon expectation. It's service, and I'm sorry, but if I'm serving based upon obligation, let me just bring it home. If I'm still in the marriage because I'm obligated to be in the marriage, there's something really wrong. There's some relationship missing. If I'm still in the relationship because it's expected of me, there's a lot of love lacking. But on the other hand, if I'm still in it because my heart's in it, if I'm still coming because my heart's in it, and I'm not here because Pastor beats me if I don't come. I'm not here because I'll hear it from my spouse if I'm not here. I'm not here because it's what my family expects from me. I'm here because this is where my heart is. I'm here because this is what I love. I'm here because I don't want to serve sin. I want to serve righteousness. I've got to obey from the heart. Not obedience because I understand it all. Listen, if you're waiting to understand it all to submit, you ain't ever going to submit. If you're waiting to figure it all out and understand all the ins and outs, it ain't ever going to happen. And you are going to always struggle. But if you learn how to submit from your heart and you learn how to say, I am going to make mistakes and I am going to do things wrong, but I want everybody to know and I want God to know where my heart is. Because where my heart is, there's my treasure also. And there's nothing I want to do more than to be in the place that's shining light on my situation. There's no people I want to be around more. I have good friends and I got buddies and I got good girlfriends out there. If you're a girl, not me. I want to be here. This is where my heart is. This is what's going to get me to heaven. This is what's going to help me make heaven my home. This is what's going to set me free from being a servant of sin. I'm not even obeying because there's blessings. It's not out of obligation or requirement. It's from my heart. Because I choose to serve the one who chose me. I choose to serve the one who gave his life for me. I choose to serve the one who gives me the power not to serve sin anymore. I choose to be around the people of God, not because they're perfect, because we aren't, but because they're striving like I'm striving. Because they need to be here like I need to be here. Why? Because we all want to serve righteousness. We want to do what's right. We want to live according to the Word of God. Because while I do not understand it all, while I'm still in the process of persuasion, I know He loves me. And He gave His life for me. In conviction, not condemnation. Conviction is causing me to resist sin and draw closer to God.
Because my greatest blessing is just to know Him. My obedience is born of privilege and not obligation. This type of obedience has to come from the heart. Want to know how you serve God? With your heart. You want to know truly how you obey the Word of God? With your heart. I talk about that blood-pumping organ in your chest. I'm talking about the innermost of your being. I'm talking about with your will, with your conscience, with everything that is you, with the essence of who you are. That's what I'm endeavoring to serve God with. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. But when I have the power to choose, I choose righteousness. When I make a conscious decision, it is a decision to serve God and His will. Not my will and not my way. Somebody say it's almost over. James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But make no mistake. If you resist God, you submit yourself to the devil. The inverse of that scripture is also true. If I resist God, then I submit myself. If I choose to disobey righteousness, I then choose to serve sin. I yield myself. That's what I do. The only way to keep me from yielding myself to sin is to keep serving righteousness. To keep putting myself in the light that shines on me, that shows me what needs to change. Thank God for somebody who has enough gumption to get up in my grill and tell me, you're serving sin. You're yielding yourself. And you're submitting yourself unto unrighteousness because you refuse to submit to righteousness. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. God be thanked. Here's where, let me put a positive spin, if you will. I don't want to leave you in the mully grubs. God be thanked that ye were once servants of sin. That used to be. I used to serve sin. I used to always serve my desires and my lusts and my wants. But I came in contact with a greater power. And that greater power is working in me. It's sanctifying me. It's making me better. But the only way that happens is if I yield to it. If I resist it, it cannot have the effect upon me that it needs to have. Can't. I can't be a better person by not interacting with the power and presence of God. I can't. You will make yourself miserable. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Oh, I'm reaching for church this month, and then I'm reaching for stuff this next month, and then I'm reaching in the... You're unstable as water. Sorry, I just love you enough to say it. God help me. God be thanked because He's given me the power to no longer be a servant of sin. And I'm learning to obey from the heart that form of doctrine.
which was delivered unto me. And it's making me, check out verse 18, it's making me free from sin. It's cutting the chains. It's releasing the ropes. The hold the devil had on me, he ain't got no more. I've been delivered. My deliverance is coming as a result of my submission. Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, I'm made free from sin, became the servants of righteousness. I now metaphorically march to the beat of a different drum. The saints come marching in. Now I'm marching to a cadence, not from the beat of this world, from a heavenly rhythm. And this cadence, it's going to carry me all the way to glory. I'm just going to keep on keeping on. I may make a mistake here and I may fall here, but I'm going to get back up. And I'm going to still keep going. I'm just going to keep walking. But you don't always do everything right. You're right, neither do you. But I'm going to keep going. And I'm going to keep walking. And this cadence is going to carry me all the way to the portals of glory. Because what I want to hear more than anything else in all the world is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. That's why I'm walking this way. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. That's why I'm endeavoring to live my life according to this word. So that when I make it there and I stand before him, he looks at me and says, well done. Well done. Good job, mate. It wasn't always easy for you, but you kept walking. Everything didn't work out like you thought it should all the time, but you kept walking. Even when you didn't understand, you kept walking. Even when you couldn't figure it all out, you kept walking. Even when you didn't have all the answers, you kept walking. It's just a challenge. Just rise this Sunday morning to say, evaluate yourself. Are you choosing to be a servant of sin or a servant of righteousness? It's a free choice. You have the power through Jesus Christ to serve righteousness, to no longer be a servant of sin, but he can't choose for you. Mommy may love God, but mommy can't choose for me. Daddy may love God, but Dad can't choose for me. Grandparents may have gone on to glory, but they couldn't choose for me. I got to choose it for myself. It's a choice that's got to come from the heart. Can't be predicated upon anything else. It's got to be predicated upon my heart. So yes, there is something to be said for truly, not just saying the words, but truly giving your heart to God. These altars are open. I hope you don't feel this is an indictment. I hope you feel that this is simply the word of God speaking in love. Help me, God. Make my calling and election sure. Make me know. Shine the light upon my soul, God.
want to serve righteousness.
Holy Spirit, rest in this place. Teach us how to be one with you. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, rest in this place. Teach us how to be one with you. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, rest in this place. Teach us how.
I know I can't do it on my own.
To be one.
I want to choose to serve righteousness. But like Paul said, the things that I want to do, I find myself not doing. The things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. But I thank my God through Jesus Christ, who gives us the victory. I need you, Jesus. That's essentially what repentance is. It's realizing that I cannot break free from my master's sin without submitting myself and making Lord my master.
Holy Spirit, rest in this place. Teach us how to be one with you. I yield my heart to you. I yield my heart to you. I yield my heart to you. You're my King. I yield my heart to you. I yield my heart.
To you.
Lord, I don't want you just as my Savior. I want you as my Lord and Master. I want to sit at your feet and learn of you. I want your word to teach me. I want your ministry to teach me. I want a light shined upon me, revealing the ways that I can be better. I want to serve righteousness. Resist sin.
Teach us how to be one with you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you. You're a loving Heavenly Father. It's your will, it's your desire that I make heaven my home. It's not your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Lord, you created hell for devil and his angels. And those who have made him their master will unfortunately find themselves in the same place. Lord, I want to serve you. It's not just about missing hell, it's about making heaven. It's about hearing those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I choose. Stood before the people and said, "Choose you this day. Make a choice. Life or death. Blessing or cursing. You're free to choose, but choose wisely. I choose to serve righteousness, to be made free from sin." Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Help me obey from my heart. Help me obey from my heart. Sometimes I get my intellect involved and it gets confusing. Sometimes I try to figure it out in my mind and it gets all muddled up. Help me to obey from my heart. That choice. I need your power to live it out. I need your spirit inside of me making it possible.
By the grace of God, I will serve the Lord. With the world behind me and the cross before, by the grace of God, I will serve. Before.
vision has staked my claim. I have drawn a line in the sand, and I won't be ashamed. With the world behind me and the cross before, by the grace of God, I will serve the Lord. I have made my decision.
We thank you for your word. Thank you for the challenge that's been given today to choose to make my calling and election sure, to utterly and completely depend upon you to live that choice out. We need you. We thank you. Go with us from the service this morning, helping us, empowering us to choose to be servants of righteousness. I bless you for being here in the house of the Lord. It's always proper to pray. If there are those praying, I would ask the rest of the congregation, please be respectful. Need to go, you consider yourself dismissed. God bless you.